I have a very exciting announcement. The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is coming. From February 17th through the 21st, the Schoolhouse Rocked team is gathering your favorite speakers in one place and hosting a one-of-a-kind live and interactive online event called the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. This will be a full week of encouragement, resources, and community, as we'll be addressing the most important issues that homeschool families face. You'll have the opportunity to interact live with our phenomenal lineup of speakers, receive a swag bag full of excellent and helpful resources, and have a chance to win valuable prizes. We already have some great speakers lined up, including Kurt Cameron, Sam Sorbo, Andrew Pudua, Heidi St. John, Israel Wayne, Ginger Hubbard, Todd Wilson, Lee Bortons, Rachel Carmen, Dorinda Wilson, Connie Albers, Karen DeBuse, Linda Hobart, and many others. The price for this live online event is only $20, which also gives you lifetime access so that you can enjoy it whenever you want. However, if you register prior to December 31st, you'll pay the early bird price of only $15. Register today at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast and Merry Christmas. I am so excited to have my good friend Abby on with me again today, who will also be speaking at and co-hosting the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. Hi, Abby.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you. And we should say Merry Christmas Eve, as people are listening to this 2 days before Christmas.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I think that's a thing, right?
I think it's a thing. I don't know. I just calculate it by when I can start eating all the cookies.
Well, I think that can happen at any time, just like music. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like this whole debate about when people can start listening to Christmas music.
And oh, for sure. What? I think it's when the time changes.
No,
right?
That's too late.
No, when the time changes, like end of October, beginning of November. When does the time change?
It changed, I think, at the beginning of November this year.
Oh, you think that's too late? When do you start?
So. Okay, here's my rule. And I think this should be the actual, like, law. Written in stone.
Got it.
As soon as the stores start pulling out Christmas stuff.
Then the Christmas music
comes on. I think the
Christmas
music can come on.
Which is like in July.
Right. Well, and let's when I say stores, let's think of like Hobby Lobby, because they start pulling stuff out like in the summertime.
Yeah, they do.
Because people have to start on their Christmas crafts that early.
It's true. It is true.
And so I think if there is Christmas stuff in the stores, I think
then
it
we can
be,
listen to Christmas music.
Yes, I think it should be legal to listen to
Christmas
music.
And my husband says not until after Thanksgiving.
Oh, Abby.
That's his hard and fast rule. But he's not home all day. So I feel like when he gets home, we turn it off. But when he's not home, we can listen to Christmas music.
Now, do you feel like that's being rebellious when he's gone?
I don't, because he doesn't care as long as we're not all singing it when he gets home.
Just kidding.
Everybody put the Christmas bells away. Dad's home.
Put the ugly Christmas sweaters in the drawers.
Yes. Okay, so then the other question is, when do you take the tree down?
Oh, well,
so do you go all the way till after the new year?
Okay, you want to hear a funny story?
I'm ready.
Brooklyn, my oldest, was born the day after Christmas. She was our Christmas miracle.
Aww.
And yeah, she missed Christmas Day by 5 hours. I was so bummed out. Wow. I actually wanted her to be born on Christmas Day because I thought either way, she's going to have a Christmas birthday, because her due date was the 27th. And I just thought, you know what? It would be great for her to just share her birthday with Jesus. And so I wanted her to be born on Christmas Day. But she came 5 hours late, and it was still the greatest Christmas ever. Aww. As a matter of fact, that day we went because we knew that she was coming. And so we celebrated Christmas with our families the day or the week before. And that year was 2005, was when the Chronicles of Narnia, the first movie, came out. And so we went to see that movie. And then after that was when we went and had a really nice dinner, just the two of us. And then we went straight to the hospital and had a baby a few hours later.
What fun!
It was awesome. But I had a newborn and I was trying to figure out this whole mom thing. And in my mind,
I was like, well, you know, babies don't take a lot of time because all they do is like sleep and you change their diaper every now and then and they you feed them every now and then. Well, my baby, as it turns out, she was tongue-tied. And so it would take her literally an hour to eat. I had to feed her another couple hours later. So anyway, I held her in my arms all the time and I was glad to do that. And it was the greatest time ever. But I remember vividly my mother-in-law coming over in February. It was Valentine's Day.
Oh,
and
she
goes, do you want me to help you take down your Christmas tree?
No way. Kidding. That is hilarious. And you're like, why not? In a few more months, I can start listening to Christmas music. Might as well leave it up.
Right. So that's that year. That's hilarious. It was still up on Valentine's Day. But
that is hilarious.
But typically, wow. No, I don't. We don't leave it out there. I feel like after Christmas, like all the magic is gone. And then I'm ready to take it down like right at the new year. How about you?
See, and well, I feel my family, I guess all my weaknesses come out around the holidays because the day after Christmas, I'm like, okay, we've had it up. This has been awesome. Christmas is over. Let's take it down. And they're like, wait, can we have it up for like one more day? I'm like, nope, Christmas is over. It's the 26th. Let's get it down. And I want to not be that way. So I'm going to work on it this year, but sometimes we put it up at Thanksgiving and by then it's like, it's been up for 5 weeks. All the pine needles are on the ground, right? I just really want to mop. Like I really just want to mop. So on the 26th, I start taking it down and they all cry. And
oh my goodness.
So yeah, but we're working through that.
Let's talk about this pine needle thing then, because that means you have a real Christmas tree.
Yes,
as opposed to the fake cheesy one that we used to have.
True.
We don't even have one now because we're nomads, but before our nomad lifestyle, we had it.
That's not conducive to carrying trees with you, actually.
Actually, last year we went and bought one at the Dollar Tree and decorated it with little teeny. I told the girls, I think we went and I said, we have like $15 to spend. Like that's our budget. We're going to spend $15 on Christmas decorations
because
we were
fun.
In the RV. And so we bought a little tiny Christmas tree and little tiny ornaments. And we decorated and it was really fun. We had a really good time.
See, those are the best memories though. And that's probably what they will remember, you know?
Yes. So do you guys cut down your own tree?
We go cut down our own tree and it's really a fun tradition that we do. We go out to breakfast and then we pack up and we go out and we chop down a tree. We sometimes take our snow machine. Sometimes we take our snowshoes because we're usually plowing through snow. And then we drag it home and has to dry for a while and then we put it up.
Oh my goodness. That's so fun.
Yeah.
But you're backwoods Barbie. And so.
So I also lumberjack, I guess.
I've never, ever in my whole life cut down a tree. And I think it would be fun. I mean, I've heard of people doing that.
It's really fun. We love it. Growing up, we had a fake tree, though. And it was just as fun. I think that whatever your traditions are fun because they're your traditions. Because
yeah.
We had a fake tree and it was so much fun to pull it out of the box and like straighten out the branches. And
right.
So, you know, it was all, I think, because that's not what Christmas is about. I think that whatever the traditions are, you just make it fun as a family, but we love to go get our own tree.
That's so
fun.
It
doesn't come without, you know, the family drama of I like this tree, you like that tree, who picks the best tree. So, you know, pros and cons.
Yes. When Garrett was a kid, they have this funny story that my mother-in-law tells about. I don't remember how old he was, but they bought a tree. They didn't buy it they didn't go cut it down themselves because typically in Southern California, they do have tree farms there, but it's not very common to go cut down your own tree, though some people do. Right. But anyway, they went and bought a tree from a tree lot and it was wrapped up. And I think they got like a really good deal on it because it was all wrapped in like netting and stuff. And they took it home, they put it in their living room, stood it up, and then they cut the netting off of it. And as like opened up, bugs flew out everywhere.
Oh, gross. No.
Isn't that awful? I know.
Oh my gosh, that would be my worst. I would never get a real tree after that.
I know.
I would certainly buy a fake tree after that.
Right. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Someday we'll get a real tree because I think it would be fun. But then, you know, if you have a fake tree, you don't have the hassle of the pine needles.
Oh, the cleanup, the pine needles and the cat that likes to climb up it.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
And then we always take the Christmas tree and we stick it out in the snow after Christmas. And then it lives there all winter and the kids like to decorate it. And then they put bird seed on it for the birds. And it's like a whole thing.
That is so funny. I can't even imagine that. So
it's very
now,
fun.
Now, do you do colored lights or white lights?
Oh, white lights all the way.
Yeah.
All
I like the
way.
White lights. So before I had kids, you know, when I had all of my ridiculous ideas of what it was going to be like to be a parent, I really love interior design, and I like things to look very pretty and orderly.
Right.
And
yes.
I had, you know, friends who had kids, and their Christmas trees always looked tacky because they had, at least in my mind, because they had like their little kid ornaments and
yes,
they were colorful.
Totally mismatched.
And, yes. And I used to think, just like I used to think, I would never homeschool. I used to think, well, when we have kids, yeah, our tree is still going to look really pretty, and I'm going to have all the pretty matching ornaments and the pretty twinkly white lights.
Right.
And then I had kids, and you know, it's as soon as they're able to make you the tacky little ornaments, like they're like your favorite.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can't not put them on the tree. And now,
and every year you like to bring them out and yes, remember that. Yes.
Yes. And so now, like, that is what I treasure. Oh. I love the cute little ornaments that they make with their little pictures on them. And
yes,
because that's what makes it your family tree. And it doesn't need to look like a tree from a hotel lobby. It shouldn't
absolutely
look like that.
Which no, it shouldn't.
Mine did before. And I enjoyed
that. But that's because before we had kids.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
And
I still have mine from when I was a little kid. And it was because my mom did the same thing. It was all the homemade gifts.
Uh-huh.
So the one I keep from when I was a kid, it was a styrofoam ball cut in half, which was the manger. And then a little Play-Doh Jesus, which looks like a gremlin in it. And it hangs on a pipe cleaner. And every year I get that out. And I love that one. But I love having the homemade ornaments. And then every year I buy the family an ornament that I wrap up, and they open it when we decorate the tree, and it has something significant to do with what we did that year. If it was a trip we took or anything that was kind of significant to our family that year.
So fun.
That then when we decorate the tree, it's like a little going through history, you know, time. So that's always fun.
Do you put the year on it, or do you have?
Yeah, I write the year on it. Yep. So, yeah.
That is so fun. That's a great tradition. I love that. I've not heard of anyone doing that.
It's so fun. And then I don't know how the kids are going to divide them up when it's time, but I'll have to figure that one out.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Exactly.
That's why that was invented. What other traditions do you have for you and your family?
Oh, just the baking day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I love, one of the blessings of homeschool is we don't take the 2 weeks off right at one chunk. You know, we take days here and there all through the season.
Right.
You know, we take a day off to just bake, you know, and then we take a day off to decorate. And so I just love the freedom that we have with homeschool just when it comes to the holidays as well.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. It is so much fun. So we also do baking day. That is something we started. Brooklyn was pretty young, and I think Lacey was a baby when we started that. And that's been really fun because then you can bake goodies, and then you get, that's a great opportunity to go around to neighbors and friends and just be able
to,
because it might be a little bit awkward to go in June and be like, we baked you some cookies.
We brought you an ice cream cone that's melted.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is. It's a great outreach to do.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you're learning fractions. So check it off the list. You just learned your fractions by baking.
Exactly. Do you have a favorite cookie?
Yes. So I always baked with my grandma and my mom when I was little, and now my kids bake with my mom, grandma, and myself. So we just have this long tradition of baking together, and we make a Danish cookie called a spritz, but they're not like the spritz that you buy at the store. They're these little round fun. And we take this sounds gross, but it's not like one of those old fashioned meat grinders, but instead you have this fun little plate you put at the end of it. So when you push it through, it makes a little fun little star shape, and then you put it into wreaths.
Oh, fun.
Anyway, they're my favorite just because they have such a fun history of making it. My mom made them with her grandma. I made them with my grandma. My kids make them with their grandma. So that's probably my very favorite cookie.
So fun. Well, the most important question when making any cookie ever is, how is the dough? Because
absolutely,
I love cookie dough.
Yep. Way more than the cookies. And the spritz cookie dough is hands down the best. Absolutely.
Better than chocolate chip cookie dough?
100%, I think. I don't know. It's just amazing. I'll send you some.
Okay. Send me some.
Because what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
dough.
The dough. The dough.
Christmas cookie.
Oh, you know what's the best is ginger cookie dough.
Oh, I
the
don't
dough
like
from
ginger.
Like homemade. What?
No.
The dough though? Oh, that's sad.
I don't even like gingerbread cookies.
Blah. Nope. That. Not going to happen.
I don't like
I'll
them.
Eat it for you.
Okay. You eat them for me. I don't know what the ones are called. I should know these. But I love the ones that are, they're like the little, like balls with rolled in,
powdered sugar. Yeah. Everybody
called?
Has different names for those.
Yeah, I know. But they're
good. I call them snowballs.
Sure.
Yeah. Are they like Italian wedding cakes or something?
I don't know.
I don't know. They're just the little snowballs.
Yeah, but those are good. But truly, I would prefer, I like sugar cookies, probably the best to eat.
Yeah.
But the frosting has to be good. And then,
for
dough, definitely chocolate chip. I know that's so boring. That's not a Christmas cookie.
Wow.
I know, but I really like chocolate chip cookie dough.
Well, then that's your Christmas prerogative.
When I was a teenager, I would make chocolate chip cookie dough. And if you make it if you're not going to bake it, if you're making it just to eat it, if you don't put the egg in it and you substitute you substitute the egg for oil, like vegetable oil or olive oil, just put a little bit just for so it has kind of the same consistency.
Right. Then you won't get salmonella.
You won't get salmonella. And it's just as good.
Wow. However,
if you have like farm fresh eggs, you could probably just put the raw egg in there, which, I mean, I eat cookie dough with raw egg anyway.
I eat cookie dough all the time, but it bothers Jesse, thinks I'm going to die of salmonella.
Well, see, now...
It will be a worthy death, though, because it's that good.
Now you can substitute the oil for the egg, but you can't bake them, obviously, that way without the egg. So just make yourself a big old bucket.
Well, so if anybody's doing their Christmas baking today, you're a little late because... So we're just talking about Christmas cookies, but hopefully you've already have them made.
Hopefully, because if you try to go to the store today and get anything...
Yeah, they have no butter.
With that. Which, by the way, do you know what one of the greatest things is that I ever did on Christmas Eve? Was I needed some food. I mean, you know, not everything for Christmas, but I realized I needed a bunch of stuff. And I do the Walmart curbside pickup thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I did it on Christmas Eve. And they went and did all my shopping for me.
Really?
It was amazing. And I felt so bad because
I was going to say, I'm sad for them.
Well, I drove in. I mean, they have to work anyway, but I drove into the parking lot and I literally wanted to like roll down my window and be like, suckers, everyone else who's going into the store to buy their stuff. I'm like, they did my shopping for me and it was free.
Oh my goodness. So, that's hilarious.
It was great. So if you need to shop on Christmas Eve and you have a Walmart curbside pickup near you,
grab
have them shop for you.
Yeah, and grab a peppermint mocha and take it to them.
Right.
You could do that. And your plate of cookies.
That's a great idea. Yes.
To the curbside person.
Bless the people who bring your groceries out to you.
Bring you your groceries.
It was so fun. But hey, let's take a quick break and then let's come back and talk some more about this.
Perfect.
I want to tell you about a fantastic resource to help you homeschool your kids. Homeschoolhelp.com. Homeworks by Precept has over 200 homeschool consultants in North America to help make your child's homeschool experience a success. Homeworks by Precept is a partner with BJU Press Homeschool and shares their values of biblical worldview, academic excellence, and critical thinking. And as homeschooling parents themselves, their consultants draw from their own personal homeschool experience and their knowledge of the BJU Press homeschool curriculum to offer solutions that help you to prepare lessons, become more efficient in homeschooling, and meet your child's unique learning needs. Homeworks consultants offer year-round support, expert advice, and they offer year-round savings on BJU Press curriculum. To connect with a Homeworks consultant, visit homeschoolhelp.com. That's homeschoolhelp.com. This episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast is brought to you by Libromania, a podcast for book lovers from the Close Reads Podcast Network and the Searcy Institute. Through conversations with contemporary novelists, poets, and biographers, as well as collectors, designers, and others, Libromania is for the person who believes that good books are an essential part of the good life. For more information, go to closereadspods.com or subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you dial up your favorite podcasts. All right, so we're talking about Christmas memories and Christmas traditions. Let's talk about Christmas. And I don't mean in the sense of like, what is Christmas all about? Because we all know what Christmas is about. But I know you and I have talked a lot about how sometimes Christmas can be really hard for people.
Right. Like Christmas expectations.
Expectations. Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about Christmas expectations.
Yeah.
So what do you expect Christmas to, I mean, what does your average woman expect Christmas to look like? What's your ideal Christmas? Give me your ideal Christmas.
Me, my ideal Christmas?
Yeah. What would your dream Christmas look like?
So for me, it's, my dream Christmas is never anything like what it looks like in reality, but I think that's life. I mean, I think everything is like that. You know, we have our fantasies about marriage and parenting and homeschooling and just life in general. And we have this idea of what we think it's going to look like.
Right.
And then we get into
the magazine.
Like the magazine and like Pinterest. Right. And then we yep. actually get into it and we're like, huh, that doesn't look anything like I thought it was going to look.
Absolutely.
And I feel like for me, Christmas is often that way. You know, we we love our family and I especially love being able to spend time with my girls and celebrate the birth of Jesus. But right. But I know for me, like my ideal Christmas would, if I had it my way all the time, I would love to invite people, just families, people, friends, other family members, strangers, whoever, people who don't have anyone else to spend Christmas with. And because the thought of other people being alone on Christmas is just devastating to me.
Right.
And so I would love to just invite a whole bunch of people over to our house and just have great fellowship and not worry so much. I do not like being in the kitchen. I've told you that before. That right. is not something that I enjoy. I cook out of necessity, not out of right. pleasure. And so for me to spend hours and hours and hours in the kitchen slaving over the turkey and over the ham and over the, you know, green beans and potatoes and blah, 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 I'm like, oh my goodness.
Right.
Can we just make a ham sandwich? Like, that'd be so much easier.
Can we order pizza?
But I want it to look pretty. So I want to put out the fine right. china because I have beautiful Aww. Fine china that my grandmother passed down to me. So I want to put the sandwich on a, you know, really pretty plate.
Nice plate.
With my pretty cookies.
I love that.
I do enjoy the food. It's just the prep is so much work. But I would rather spend that time actually just having good fellowship with other
right.
people who just want to hang out and have good fellowship and play games and play Christmas music
right.
until my ears, you know, hurt. And so that's what I would love. One year, this was maybe about 7 or 8 years ago. Lacey was a baby when we did this. We took a collection of blankets from just people. I think I actually just put it out on Facebook and said, hey, we're going to just take up a blanket collection and we're going to go deliver mm-hmm. them on Christmas day to homeless people. And then we bought a bunch of sandwich stuff and we just made sandwiches and we made you know, sandwich goodie bags and we had blankets and we just went and drove around town on Christmas morning and found homeless people because in the town that we were from, there were a plethora of them. And so we just went and found people who were in need and we were just like, hey, do you need
and
a blanket?
Blankets. That is so precious.
And it was so much fun. We need to do that again. It was such a blessing. And
that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
But
I love that.
But yeah, I mean, my idea of what Christmas would look like is not usually my reality of what Christmas looks like. And that's okay.
Right.
Because it's not all about me and what I want. It's about the family.
Right, what it's about. And I think that's where we get hung up on the Christmas expectations because we wait all year for what it's supposed to be. And we see what we think everybody else is doing. And so I think some of the expectations are, you know, there's so much joy, so much laughter, so much fun, so many traditions, the cookies, all these things. But I think there's the reality of, you know, this year's that I think of my dear friend and this will be her first Christmas. Her mom just passed away. And I think, man, that's not very joyful. And I remember one year on Christmas Day, Jesse he was law enforcement. So he was working and I was taking down our tree on Christmas Day with two little tiny, you know, two kids under three at the time, two kids under two, taking down the tree, packing up the house because we were leaving town. And I was looking at everybody's Facebook feeds because that's so, you know, that's so hard. And everybody was having all these amazing times and I'm taking down the tree alone at home while my husband's at work. And I stop and I think, you know, that's probably there's probably more people having a realistic, you know, a harder time on Christmas than what we anticipate or what we expect. But I think about expectations and I think how, as I was taking down the tree that day and kind of home alone with the crying baby and the ear infection and the everything. And I thought, you know, when Mary was engaged, you know, she was probably dreaming about the dream wedding and the celebrations because they had beautiful celebrations then. And, you know, oh, we're Joseph and I are going to settle down and we're going to have the perfect, you know, birth and I'll be surrounded by all the women that love me while I'm having my baby and just all the expectations that we have now when we have a wedding and then when we have a baby and then when we have Christmas. And, you know, I think the first Christmas was a Christmas full of expectations that didn't happen. You know, all the expectations she probably dreamed of as a little girl growing up, none of it happened. And yet when we read, when we read the story of how it all played out, she didn't grumble and complain. She didn't say, well, everybody else's, you know, Christmas or everybody, because it was Christmas, looked like this. You know, she said, yes, Lord, is whatever you say, I'll do. And then she ran to tell Elizabeth. She ran because she was excited. Mm-hmm. All her expectations were blown. And yet she found her joy and her excitement in the Christ, you know, in Jesus. And it says, she said, my soul praises the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And I think when all of our Christmas expectations, you know, when the ham is burned and the kids are fighting and the tree decorations are falling off and broken.
And there's family drama.
And there's family drama because that's just how it works, you know, and, you know, maybe there's a family member that's not there because you don't know where they are, or all the stories that the people are listening to right now. Everybody has their own hurt that comes into this season. And are we able to say, my soul praises the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, as Mary did? And I think the only way, I know that the only way we can do that is when we really look at the baby, because that's all that Mary kept her eyes on. She kept her eyes on God's plan for her life and on the baby she was carrying. And when we keep our eyes on Jesus, all those expectations, all those traditions, all those, they kind of fade into the background. And there's nothing wrong with those things. They're beautiful. They're celebrations of what God has done. But they fade into the background when we really keep our eyes on the Lord. So as exciting as it is to talk about all the fun Christmas things, we have to remember that most people around us have a lot of expectations that aren't being met this holiday. So we keep our eyes on how it was at the very first Christmas, and we realize it's probably a little bit more normal Christmas what we're having.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good reminder, Abby, just to choose joy in the midst of it. I mean, there is,
and it
truly
is a choice.
Joy. It is a choice. And you know, you look at our society today and how in everything that is happening, Satan is doing his best job to take our eyes off of Jesus.
Yeah.
At Christmas time, at Easter, you know, just in families in general, you just look at our culture and you're like, man, could they remove Jesus anymore?
Right.
And so to especially remove him from the very day that he came into the world to save us, you know, it just, you're so right on that. It's, we have to keep our eyes focused on him. Right. And when we take our eyes off of him and start focusing on all of the other stuff, that's when we find disappointment.
Right. Imagine if Mary sat in that stable and she was looking at the stinky cows and at the manure piled up and at the, you know, and then even looking at all the other people that had the, you know, there was no room at the inn because it was full. And she could have thought all those people in there with their perfect little, you know, their perfect little first Christmases, but she didn't. She kept her eyes on that baby. And it's so easy for us to look around and say, look how they're spending Christmas and look what they're getting to do for Christmas. And then it takes away the joy. But I think Mary is our greatest example of when all the expectations are blown out of the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
That what remains is the Christ child.
Yeah, that's right. I was reading the other day, Psalm 16:11, it says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Mm-hmm. And at Christmas time, if we are in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, and we can find our joy even in the midst of our trials.
Absolutely.
Because he is joy. He is Christmas. He's Christ Mass. I mean, that's it's all about him. And so taking our focus off of the gifts and the food and everything else that we feel pressured into doing.
Right.
And just focusing on our Savior. I mean, there is just no greater joy than doing that, being in the presence of God. And so
And there's nothing wrong with those things, because they're ways of celebrating, you know, they're incredible ways of celebrating, but we have to remember they are ways of celebrating Jesus. They're not, they're not celebrating anything other than that. So when we give gifts, let us remember the greatest gift. When we're eating food with everybody, let us remember that's a gift that God has given to us. So, you know, it's great to celebrate, but let's remember what we're celebrating.
Yep. Yep. That's right. So good. And it was interesting. We were listening to Christmas music, of course, because that's what we do. And let me say, Garrett does not love Christmas music, and he typically won't start really listening to it with us until like after Thanksgiving.
December 23rd, tonight, today.
Yes. But when we can listen to it, when it's just the girls and I, we will blast Christmas music. And I think we were listening to Mariah Carey. And Lacey said to me, she said, Mom, is Mariah Carey a Christian? And I said, I don't think so, honey. I'm pretty sure she's not. I mean, I can't judge her heart, but I don't believe that she professes to be a Christian. And as she said, you know, it's interesting that she sings Christian music.
Right.
And I've thought about that. And I've thought, you know, Christmas is the only time that people who don't mm-hmm. even believe in Jesus sing about his right. grace and his glory.
Is that like, incredible?
Ha, ha, joke's on you.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Do you even know what you're saying?
And, it will be like every knee will bow. You know, it reminds me of that verse. Every knee yes. will bow. And there will that's be right. a day where every voice will sing,
Yep. Every voice will proclaim the goodness of Christ. Ugh. And so it's kind of funny. Do you have a favorite Christmas song?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So here's one. I asked that to when my little boy was 3, he came out and he said, Mama, I know my favorite Christmas song. And I said, what is it? And he said, The Little Drummer Boy. And I said, why, honey? And he says, because I can say bum over and over and I don't get in trouble. <A-rum-pum-pum-pum>.
That is really
Isn't
funny.
Isn't that funny? So I would have to say The Little Drummer Boy is probably my favorite now because I can say bum.
Wait. Back it up. Is bum a bad word in your house?
No, it's totally not. Okay. That's what's funny because I wipe my children's bums and sometimes I spank my children's bums. But for some reason, it's the heart of a boy, I guess. He just thought, I can just sing potty talk. Festive. I don't know, but that goes down in history.
That is really funny. Oh my goodness. That does definitely go down in history.
You'll never listen to that song the same.
I will think of Carlson always when I hear that. That is so funny. My favorite one by far since I was a teenager is Oh Holy Night by Sandy Patty. I love that song and I love the way she sings it. Like I could just listen to her sing that over and over and over.
Okay, you have to link to it somehow so we can all hear it.
And
okay,
of course,
perfect.
You know, a lot of people listening to this are probably like, who's Sandy Patty?
Who's Sandy Patty? And now you all know how old we are.
Well, and she's even a little bit before our generation. I think she's more like our parents' generation, maybe in between.
Really? Because shows I listened to her in high school. That's how hip I was.
Did you?
Absolutely.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I feel like when I was in high school, like she was not a, you know, artist that teenagers would really listen to, except for Abby, of course.
Except for me.
But I did listen to her Christmas album and it was awesome.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
The other day I asked somebody something about a Christmas album and I was like, it's kind of weird that we still call them Christmas albums because we don't listen to albums anymore, but what would you call it now? Like your Christmas...
The Christmas station on
iTunes?
Totally. On Pandora. I don't know.
On Pandora.
My Christmas playlist. That's what they say. My Christmas playlist, right? Or is that too old?
Well, no, because I'm talking about like specific, like you wouldn't say what's your favorite Christmas playlist because I'm talking about a specific...
Oh, yeah, that's true. An artist.
A specific album.
I don't know what you'd say.
I'm gonna have
to find. What's your favorite Christmas 8-track?
Exactly. Cassette tape.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my word. We're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to find a new word for album because I don't think that's a thing anymore. Anyway.
And you can go to the Schoolhouse Rocked Facebook page and tell us what we should be calling it
If it's not album, yes. Go on the page and tell us. Anyway, it's so much fun talking to you, and I am so grateful for you. I pray that everyone listening to this has an amazing Christmas. We love you guys so much, and you are a gift to us. Your prayers, your encouragement, just this week again, in one day, we actually got 2 emails just from people just encouraging us and saying thank you for what you're doing with Schoolhouse Rocked, with the podcast, with the movie, with everything. And it was just such a blessing. We need that encouragement. And we just need to know that there's people out there actually listening. And so we appreciate that. And we're so grateful for those of you who take the time to just pop on this podcast. You could be listening to a million other podcasts, but you've chosen to listen to this one today and listen to Abby and I talk about our goofy holiday traditions and Christmas, you know, traditions and cookies and all that stuff. But we are grateful for you. And as you're thinking through Christmas and as the year is coming to an end, we would love to just ask you guys to, one, continue praying for us. We have a monumental task ahead of us to get the movie done, and there's just a whole lot that is going into that, and so we would love your prayers for that. And then as you are considering any end-of-the-year donations, we would love for you to just pray about supporting the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked. Everything we do costs money. And so we are very grateful for those who have come alongside us and supported us financially. And if you feel like the Lord is putting it on your heart to do that, we would love to have you as part of just our financial support team. You can go to schoolhouserocked.com/give, and that'll take you right to a page where you can easily just put in your information and give a year-end donation or a beginning of the year donation or whatever it is that the Lord puts on your heart, because we definitely are in need of financial support. So so thank you again. And Abby, thank you for being on
with
me.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, yes. Everybody.
Oh, Merry Christmas. And we love you guys. Have an awesome Christmas. And we will see you back here next week. Bye-bye.